Welcome into the Football Night Lights podcast. We're your host, Jesse, and this is...
I'm Tyler, and as we had mentioned in the last one, today we're going to talk about post-draft, and we're also going to kind of share some feedback about the Oregon Ducks spring game that was yesterday, Saturday, April 26th. So with that, let's go ahead and just kind of get going in. Some huge takeaways of the draft, obviously...
Round one was a big one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Talk about Cam Ward. He's first overall.
Yeah, first overall, went straight to the Titans. Everybody saw that one coming. Big shocker. The Browns traded the second overall pick to the Jags, moved down to the fifth pick. They also accumulated some other picks later on. So the Jags ended up getting Travis Hunter.
Yep.
Giants, they took a... they took Abdul Carter and then also traded back into the first round to pick up Jackson Dart over Shedeur Sanders.
Yep. One thing that I wanted to add, if you don't mind, about Travis Hunter. I was watching the draft, and I guess a representative of the Jags said that they plan on using Travis Hunter as a wide receiver. And just kind of sprinkling in a little bit of DB this year. But it's kind of interesting to see their how they plan to use Travis Hunter mainly.
Yeah.
I know he's a two-way player, but I was just curious to see if they're going to swing one way or the other, do a little bit of both. So it sounds like maybe a little 80-20 wide receiver DB.
At least to start. At least not overdo him.
Yeah, I mean, it's a different animal in the NFL. You're going to be taking a lot worse hits. So you got to pick one side or the other, but I think that's cool. Now, I wonder if Travis Hunter, he kind of sets the tone for future athletes like himself.
Mm-hmm.
If NFL teams decide to draft players who can play both ways and use them sparingly for both positions, it'd be interesting to see. But anyway,
with that then, are we going to see more of those players in college then? Or because a lot of them only play one side of the ball. I mean, the majority of them only play one side of the ball. So are we going to see more players with that ability to confidently play both sides of the ball well?
It'll be a question for both college and NFL. I mean, Travis Hunter is a rare, rare guy who's able to play it both ways. So I could see... Maybe we see more examples of players playing both positions or both sides of the ball. I don't know. We'll see.
With that also, 49ers overall just kind of beefed up their defense.
Yeah, how surprised were you of that?
Shocked? I'm not shocked only because they brought back that their defensive coordinator, who is a defensive guru.
Mm-hmm.
And you also got to think the Niners lost a whole bunch of great talent. I mean, they lost Drake Greenlaw, Hufanga. I saw something that...
Ward?
They lost Ward, but... Malik Mustafa.
Yeah, he's still on the team.
He is, but
he's injured, right?
Yeah, so he had torn his ACL at the very end of last season, and now they're not thinking he's going to be available at the beginning of the year. So, I think beefing up your defense, especially early on, getting those better players is great. Especially since Kyle Shanahan is great at finding skills guys late in the draft and developing them into star athletes. So I think their first pick with Michael was great. And I can't wait to see what he brings to the table.
Do you think he starts?
It's kind of hard to not be a first round pick and not start. But I mean, it's happened. I think he starts, but I think I wait to make my final, he's going to start, no, he's not going to start, until we see more of him and, how he chems well with the team. Another another thing to that is like preseason, you know, that'll be a great way to see like how he adapts to this team. So I think he will. Anything can happen though. Steelers getting a dog with Derek Harmon. I think them beefing up their defense as well is great. Especially pairing him with TJ Watt. Mm-hmm. I think he's going to do wonders over in Pittsburgh. I feel like that defense is just getting scarier. Also, another duck that went in the first round, Josh Connerly Jr., went to the Commanders. I think this is great. Jaden Daniels definitely needs that offensive line help. Especially, I mean, don't get me wrong, Jaden Daniels is a great mobile quarterback, but he needs more time to throw the ball. And I think a lot of that had to do with the fact, like, why they kind of struggled with the Eagles, because the Eagles just swarmed him and in the NFC Championship. So
yeah, we talked about this on our previous podcast, but Josh Connerly is one of those agile left tackles that's big, it's physical, but he's also athletic enough to not get beat by pass rushers. So good pickup by the Commanders. Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. I also noticed that Atlanta definitely addressed a lot of their issues with the pass rush and drafted both Jalen Walker and James Pierce in the first round.
I thought that Jalen Walker went to Carolina.
I was looking at this earlier, and it said that, I mean, that the Falcons had two first-round picks, and that's who they took. Because I saw that the Panthers...
Or maybe we had predicted Jalen Walker to go to...
I think we predicted, because when I was looking at it, I could have sworn the Panthers took McMillan.
Yeah, he was drafted by Atlanta. So, yep, you're right. Jalen Walker and James Pierce, good pass rushers, elite level, SEC type guys. You know what you're getting when you draft a guy from Georgia and Tennessee. It's the best of the best conference. Jalen Walker. Yeah, absolute dog. So, yeah, like you said, they addressed a lot of their pass rushing needs. And these guys are going to be elite for them in a couple years, if not this year. Looks like Colts snagged Tyler Warren.
Yeah, I just got to say, Bears, War Room, bunch of idiots. They take the second, I mean, it's not that they got a bad pick, but they had Tyler Warren on the table. Way, like, hands down the best tight end in that draft.
Yeah.
And they should have taken him.
Yeah, I mean, they went with Colston Loveland. Good tight end. The second best in the draft. But, yeah, they could have drafted Tyler Warren.
They should have drafted Tyler Warren. I mean, this dude is...
He's a do-it-all kind of guy. I mean, he can play running back, wide receiver, tight end,
block.
Obviously. He can block. I mean, they even had him in, like, Wildcat quarterback formations. Yeah.
And he can catch a ball in, like, heavy coverage, too. Like, he makes plays.
I mean, if you watch the USC game for any of you guys, yeah, he balled out against those USC defenders. So
that's not very hard, though.
No, it's not very hard to do, but it's still talent, nevertheless. So, looks like Green Bay, they draft a wide receiver in their first round for the first time since 2002 with Matthew Golden. Good pickup.
Yeah, no, he's gonna do wonders for Green Bay. He's very athletic. He's quick. And for a team that can use all the skills, player help that they can get, Green Bay did not drop the ball on this one. Definitely the best receiver that was available. They got him, and he's ready. And it was great to see, you know, being that the draft was in Green Bay, like, he got to address the fans, like, right away. And it's going to be interesting to see, like, how he meshes well with the rest of the wide receiver room, as well as how well he does paired up with Jordan Love. So,
I mean, it's not like the wide receiver group currently, before Matthew Golden was bad. They just dealt with a lot of injuries.
And yeah.
That's maybe a little bit of development issues, but they're not bad by any means. They held their own.
Yeah. And so Eagles traded up one slot. They went from the 32nd pick to the 31st and was able to snag Jahad Campbell. Being an Eagles fan, what is your thoughts on that?
They got the second best linebacker in the draft. I mean, the Eagles, they really like their SEC guys. I was surprised that they didn't take or trade up to get Malachi Starks out of Georgia.
I saw this thing. It was like the majority of their like draft player like over the last few years is either Bama or Georgia.
Yeah.
Bama or Georgia.
Good piece for the Eagles. This guy's a winner. He knows how to be a professional. I mean, he went to Bama. They're going to use him in the right way. They're going to get the most out of him. I fully trust the defensive coordinator for the Eagles, Vic Fangio, to use him properly.
Mm.
Good pickup.
All right, going on to round two, one that we were pretty excited about.
Yeah.
Rams got Terrence Ferguson. So happy for him. Personally, I didn't think he was going to go as high as he did.
Mm-hmm.
I'm very glad he did.
Yeah.
He is a great player. He may not be as quick as most tight ends, but he is a beast.
He's durable. He's like Tyler Warren, Colson Lusson. He's a do-it-all kind of tight end. You can line him up in the inside. You can line him up outside. He can pass block for you. And he's just great, great player. Very athletic. Very durable, too. I don't think during his time at Oregon he had many injuries, if any.
Saints also take a quarterback. Still not Shedeur Sanders. They take Tyler Shough.
Shuck.
It's Shuck?
Shuck. Tyler Shuck.
That's definitely pronounced Shough.
No, that's Shuck.
Trust okay. me. They take Tyler Shuck over Shedeur Sanders. A whole lot of drama going on with this one where someone ended up prank and call Shedeur. Turns out it was someone that's inside with like the Falcons, their kid got the phone number I saw and prank called Shedeur. I don't get why everyone's all freaking out about it, to be honest. The same thing happened to Cooper DeJean and nobody batted an eye. Like this isn't the first time that's happened. I mean, I don't really know what to think. Like, I think that a lot of teams are maybe going to regret not get, like, I don't like Shedeur Sanders. Like, I think he's kind of a prick. But he's not a bad quarterback. He's not the best quarterback. Definitely, I think should have gone over some of these guys that were drafted.
What was more surprising is that they drafted both Dylan Gabriel and Shedeur.
Yeah, we'll go over more of that. I have the have that notated down here. Bears addressed both offensive and defensive positions during the second round. They got offensive line Ozzie Tripilo, as well as wide receiver Luther Burden.
Mm-hmm. Good pickup.
Which honestly, like getting receiver help over in Chicago's really not a bad idea. I mean, you got DJ Moore. You still have Keenan Allen if they re-sign him. If they can get a deal worked out, I should say. Romo Dunze, like Luther Burden's gonna fit perfectly, especially if they can't hold on to Keenan Allen. And then defensively, they got Shamar Turner. Another team that's defense has kind of struggled for many, 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 many years. So I'm really glad to see a lot of these teams finally realizing where they need help and focusing on those pieces. Unless you're the Browns, because it kind of seemed like they drafted every, like, it didn't really seem like they focused on fixing certain things. I mean, now they have a QB room of five QBs. They were drafting offensively, defensively. It just didn't seem like they really had a plan as to what they were drafting when they were drafting.
So going back to the Browns, I wanted to mention something else. You know, you had said if they lose Keenan Allen, I think they'll be just fine
without the Bears. Browns.
The Bears, thank you. If they lose Keenan Allen, they're going to be fine. They have Rome Odunze, who can easily step into that role that Keenan Allen has, a big body receiver. Luther Burden's more of an inside guy. And then DJ Moore is more of that outside guy. So they're going to be fine.
Yeah, no, 100%. Going back to the Browns, they did draft Judkins, who almost missed the phone call because he was in the bathroom. It was honestly kind of hysterical.
Duty calls, man.
Yeah, literally. 49ers add more defensive power with Alfred Collins. Again, just beefing up that defense for a team that did kind of struggle defensively, mostly due to injury last year. But when you go from having the best defense in the league to a joke, it kind of felt like. I'm really glad that they're addressing those issues, especially since they know they lost all that talent.
Well, and you know for a fact that Robert Saleh had his hands all over this, this draft class.
Yeah.
He knew who he wanted, and he got him.
I think the biggest steal of the second round is the Cardinals actually picking up Will Johnson. I know there was a whole lot of like injury scare with his whole knee issue. But if this kid's healthy, like, he's definitely a first-round caliber player. Like, the Cardinals got a huge steal with this. Injured or not, like, he's going to come back healthy, and he's going to prove all these people wrong.
We saw him lock up Rome Odunze, Jalen Polk, and who else on that Washington squad a couple years ago when they beat him in the national championship.
Yeah.
I mean, he was locking down those wide receivers, and I think he won defensive player of the game. If I'm not mistaken. So, yeah, good steal, good rangy corner. If he's healthy, he'll be a good piece. So, round three?
Yeah. Round three. Giants continue to address their defense. They added Darius Alexander. You know, the Giants have struggled both sides of the ball for ever since they lost Eli Manning. I think them finally kind of realizing they really need to address these issues sooner rather than later. I think within a few years, like if they continue to build these players up, and especially with Abdul Carter, like I think defensively they could improve drastically, especially with how they drafted this year. 49ers continue to, again, just beef up the defense. They got linebacker Nick Martin and addressed their corner, that missing piece in the corner with Upton Stout.
Do you like both of these guys, seeing as they lost key pieces along those positions, linebacker and corner?
I think it's going to be great, especially since they're going to be under Robert Saleh. I mean, he's going to develop them no matter what. Like, they're going to be, whether it's this year, next, however long it takes, they're going to become high-caliber defensive players. Like, that's just the way Robert Saleh runs his defense, is he brings out the talent in everybody. And I hope that, you know, in the corner position, he's a great replacement for, you know, for Chavarius Ward. That's a huge shoes to fill because he was a great lockdown defender. But I think him paired up with, I mean, especially learning under Demo, like Demo learned under Chavarius Ward and he's great, you know? So I think they'll pair well. It may not be an instantaneous click, but I still think that they'll have a stellar defense, especially with the new draft class this year too.
And then when Mustafa does come back,
healthy.
I mean he's a guy too.
I mean no slouch. Rookie last year and he was just balling out. Like he showed that he was like he's gonna be a great replacement for Hufanga, and I'm honestly just when he does get healthy, I'm excited to see how much he's grown, you know. So Cardinals get a huge dog, Jordan Birch. I'm telling you this honestly, I think the Cardinals are getting scary. They drafted very well. And Jordan Birch is a great defender. Watching him this last duck season was very fun. Watching him get past those lines, go in for the sacks, cause disruption with the ball. Cardinals overall, I think probably one of the winners of this draft, not gonna lie. Browns, they got tight end Harold Famine and their first QB, Dylan Gabriel. Huge shocker, especially with all the talk that Dylan may not have even gotten drafted. And going third round, I was shocked. Majorly shocked. Especially since, you know, the Browns honestly seemed very set on drafting Shedeur Sanders. Maybe a lot of it had to do with the fact that they traded away their chance to get Travis Hunter. So it's like, well, they didn't have Travis, so they didn't really need to pair him with the quarterback. And I know there's a lot of things like that. It's not just, you know, how they performed in college, how they did in the combine. It's who's your character, you know, things that are said, people around you that say things on your behalf, like that can really take a toll on your draft stock. And I honestly believe that is why he fell to the fifth round.
Everything leading up to when you get drafted is basically a job interview.
Yeah,
it is. So there, scouts are analyzing your skill, your performance, and your character. And I think a lot of that had the character was one of the reasons why Shedeur was drafted so late, was his character.
Yeah. I actually just recently saw a video that had resurfaced from a few months ago of a workout of Cam Ward and Shedeur. And Shedeur was trying to get Cam Ward to do like a rap verse with him on a song, and Cam Ward's like, no, like I don't want people to look me up and see like all these different things. Like I want people to know me for football and football only. Like that's his passion. Like he loves football, and I honestly believe that is what helped lock that number one overall. His character is like he's devoted to the game. And teams are going to want that. They want someone devoted to the game.
They want a professional.
Exactly. Chargers were able to snag Jamari Caldwell. Another team that could use all the defensive help, especially losing Joey Bosa. That defense is not going to be the same without him, to be honest.
Jamari Caldwell is a good pickup. Got a lot of experience. I think he played 6 years in college. So
gotcha.
He's a great veteran. Good piece.
Raiders draft back-to-back offensive line, which is great. It's another team that, I mean, overall just kind of...
They're rebuilding.
Yeah. I mean, they've got Max Crosby, great defender, but a lot of their pieces just are missing. And I think beefing up that line is going to help, especially with a quarterback like Geno. Geno can scramble, so being that they're going to be young, they may not... I mean, they may not even start, but it's like, you know, build these guys up now.
Yeah. So when they do draft a high quarterback, they're ready.
Yeah.
They're ready.
Which honestly, a lot of teams were wanting to draft a quarterback next year because the quarterback class next year is just going to be way better.
Yeah.
But they got Caleb Rogers and Charles Grant. And Seahawks, they drafted QB Jalen Milroe.
Okay.
A lot of that had to do with the fact that they traded away Sam Howell to the Minnesota Vikings in a pick swap. So I feel like, you know, Jalen Milroe replacing, you know, Sam Howell is a good fit. He can learn under Sam Darnold when they realize Sam just isn't a long-term option for them. I feel like he'll fit in pretty great.
Milroe's one of those guys that's just electric with the ball. He needs to clean up some of his mistakes. Made a lot of interceptions this past year, so it's why he wasn't a first round draft pick. But I think given time and given some space to learn in that system, develop and get mentored by Sam Darnold, he'll be just fine.
Yeah.
As long as the Seahawks keep putting pieces around him and building for that future. I think Seahawks realize that Jalen Milroe is their future.
Yeah.
He can be that guy.
You gotta pull, honestly, I know a lot of this is just due to injury, but they gotta do the J.J. McCarthy thing, you know? Yeah, he sat because of injury, but he could have came back. But they allowed him to kind of be more mentored. But it also had a lot to do with the fact that Sam Darnold was doing very well. I agree with you. I think Seahawks believe he's going to be their guy going forward. And I think that him sitting under Sam Darnold is going to help him achieve the ability to be able to be their guy going forward.
Last thing you want to do is throw a QB under the fire or with the Sharks when they're not ready and completely stunt somebody's growth.
Like Zach Wilson. Yeah. Okay, round four. Giants got running back Cam Scadabo. I'm honestly...
Swiss Army Knife.
I feel like, you know, third, fourth round was probably a great landing spot for him. I mean, he's a beast of a running back. He's another one of those guys that will run through your face. I think he's going to be a great fill-in. You don't want to say replacement because you can't really replace. It's hard to replace talent like Saquon Barkley. I mean, Saquon was like one of those, like, once in a long while come around talent, like, and he's not the same type of player as Cam is. Like, Cam's more of like a Frank Gore, like built to run you over kind of guy, whereas Saquon is speedy,
can be put out in the slot and the catch passes.
I think
Christian McCaffrey.
Again, I think Giants are doing the right thing. They're filling the pieces that they need. Cam Scadabo, definitely going to be a great fit. Eagles added another defensive tackle, Ty Robinson.
Good piece. They lost a couple of pieces along the defensive line. So stock them up, develop them. Then when they're ready, increase their workload. Good pickup.
Yeah. 49ers added defensive tackle C.J. West and wide receiver Jordan Watkins.
What do you think about Watkins? Did you watch his tape yet?
I have not watched his tape yet. However, if there's one thing I do know is late round picks for skills players in the 49ers usually lead to star athletes. And I say that because Kyle Shanahan and the entire, you know, offensive coordinators love to bring out the talent and potential of these guys, and they make them stars.
Rounds 4, 5, 6, to where the value is. That's these are your value guys.
Yeah. So, and
much like this next guy we're about to talk here.
Jordan James.
Jordan James, yeah.
49ers take Jordan James in the fifth round. I'm excited. Watching Jordan James run the ball last year was so fun. Mm-hmm. He was always running people over and continuing to go. He's definitely a run it in your face kind of guy.
He is.
I'll definitely be picking up his jersey.
Aside from Christian McCaffrey, who's on the roster right now? Guerrero and some.
It was Elijah Mitchell.
Uh huh.
But I don't think they re-signed him.
And then they lost Jordan Mason, right?
Yeah, so Jordan Mason, if I'm not mistaken, is going to Minnesota. So,
I'd like to see Jordan James get some good playing time this year.
I definitely think he'll be more on the, we'll see him more like with special teams.
You think so?
Like with kickoff. I mean, look at, they did the same thing with LaMichael James. But unless, obviously, like, injuries happen, I don't think Jordan James will get as much time in the backfield outside of preseason, unless injuries happen. But I do think that just how quick he is and how, like, durable he is, I think, you know, putting him in on kickoff is not a bad thing to do.
I'd like to see them kind of slowly work him into the offense. Yeah, like you said, maybe start him out with special teams, right? Yeah. But he doesn't have to have an 1,000-yard season like Bucky did last year, but how great would it be for Jordan? He's not going to. If Christian McCaffrey stays healthy, he's not going to, but it would be great to see Jordan James, two duck running backs, have a phenomenal rookie season.
Yeah.
Like 500 yards or 600 yards or something like that.
Yeah. That'd be great to see. No, I totally agree with you. Eagles continue to find help defensively with Mac McWilliams and Shmail Munden.
Thoughts on that? I think Shmail Munden is a Georgia guy.
Yeah.
So they got their Georgia guy.
Yeah.
Gotta have at least one in the draft for the Eagles. Yeah. They draft Drew Kendall, center.
Yep.
I don't know much about him, to be honest. Good piece. Could be a guy in the next couple years.
Let's hope he's the next Jason Kelsey. Seahawks definitely continue to fill the missing voids. They draft wide receiver Torrey Horton, tight end Robbie Oates, and defensive line Riley Mills. Another team, again, they lost a lot of key pieces. And just trying to fill those puzzle pieces, you know. They know where they're hurting. They're filling them. And it'll be interesting to kind of see like how they go. I don't think Seahawks are going to be as competitive as they have been the last couple seasons, especially with, you know, the Rams beefing it up and the Cardinals beefing it up. I think as much as I want to say the Niners too, but it's just another team that lost so much, and the Cardinals have just been building up and the Rams have just been building up, so it'll be interesting to see. And the Browns draft Shadur, round 5. Again, I don't really know what the Browns were doing this draft. Maybe they're just kind of setting themselves up to fail again so they can get high draft next year. But I can guarantee you that the Browns really aren't going to be drafting a quarterback next year. So there's no real reason to tank.
You got 5 QBs on the roster. You had 3 before the draft. You have Pickett, Flacco,
Watson.
Now you draft Dylan Gabriel and Shadur.
Yeah. Here's how I see it, though, is I personally do not think Kenny Pickett is starting worthy quarterback. He's just not.
Neither is Joe Flacco.
Joe Flacco is great as like a second string and needs to come in and fill in because there's an injury. I get Deshaun Watson is going to be out who knows how long. So it really comes down to who do you start, Dylan or Shadur? Personally, I think, personal bias, obviously, I would say Dylan Gabriel. Honestly, I would just say you start Joe Flacco and then
let Dylan and Stewart battle it out for the two.
You let them battle it out for the two, or you really just kind of say, well, let's just see how you guys do in preseason and training camp. I don't want to say start Dylan Gabriel because the size is a factor. I don't want to say start Shadur Sanders because I just don't think he's really all that great. I think he could be talented, but like if you look at what the schools Colorado played, and then you look at when they played, you know, top teams, he struggled against those top teams. Like Oregon dog pounded him. And so if you look at a lot of Shadur's tape, is he's running for his life, even, you know, against these teams that aren't as talented. I don't want to say like, that's like honestly a pretty bad word to use, but like they're not as big of a powerhouse, I should say, as these like Big Ten, at the time Pac-12, but you know, SEC, stuff like that. Like, it's like he's just not going to be able to, he just wasn't able to compete at that level, in my opinion. And it maybe it's just the fact, just the way Colorado was.
Maybe if Shadur had more pieces around him along the offensive line and wide receiver spot, he might have done better. So do we play it as circumstance, or do we play it as, well, this guy just isn't really all that talented?
Yeah. And that's just like the thing. It's like it's hard to say because it's like if you compare him to college, don't start him. If you compare Dylan to college, start him because he was great. Like, yeah, he just pretty much threw screen passes a lot, and we didn't really get to see him throw bombs. But is that his fault, or is that the play caller's fault? And it's like Shadur, he's pretty mobile. I mean, he can sling the ball.
He's more of your prototypical quarterback than Dylan is.
I don't know. I say start Joe Flacco. You let the other two battle it out. And then, you know, when Deshaun Watson comes back, if they decide to keep him. Because honestly, at this point, get rid of him. He's just become a liability. He's scamming the NFL out of millions of dollars a year because he doesn't really ever play. And then, you know, at that point, let these two, you know, duke it out for the second spot. Eventually, Joe Flacco's obviously probably going to retire within the next season or two. Then you got one of them being as your next quarterback, and then the other can go somewhere else, or you just stay, play it out. Round six, Raiders take QB Tommy Mellett and QB Cam Miller and defensive tackle J.J. Peggs. The quarterbacks were pretty like back to back. It was like only like it was like a pick or two in between. What are your thoughts on them? Because they have Geno Smith, and then they have, I don't know who their back is. It still Aiden O'Connell?
I honestly cannot answer that question. I don't know who Tommy Mellett or Cam Miller are. Maybe they want to draft these guys for like low risk, possible high reward,
probably
kind of deal. Developmental pieces, see if these guys can duke it out for the second or third.
Yeah.
Learned under Geno. They're not really wasting much. I mean, it's kind of interesting that they took two QBs back to back. I wouldn't have done it, but I'm not the GM.
Yeah.
So it's low risk, high reward. Eagles, they draft Kyle McCord.
Mm-hmm.
So Eagles still do need a backup QB, I believe. They lost Kenny Pickett. I can't remember who they signed in the offseason, if they did, to replace Pickett. But Kyle McCord's a good quarterback. Originally went to Ohio State.
Mm-hmm.
Went to Syracuse. And Syracuse led the nation in passing, so that's a plus. Miles Hinton, Cameron Williams, Antoine Powell, Ryland, probably good pieces. Always good to beef up your offensive line,
yeah.
Develop these guys so that they're ready in a couple years to protect Hurts. Cameron Williams, I remember he was recruited to Oregon, flipped to Texas when Mario Cristobal left. That's all I know about him. Good piece. And then Cowboys, they drafted Johnny Cornelius. I was kind of surprised he went that late, to be honest with you.
Mm-hmm.
Josh Connerly was the better of the two.
Yeah.
But Johnny definitely held his own for 2 years.
Yeah.
Came from Rhode Island to Oregon. And I think Rhode Island is a D2 school.
Yeah.
Absolutely balled out on the right tackle spot. I was kind of hoping that he would have gone in the fourth or fifth round, but hey, it is what it is.
Yeah.
Good pickup for the Cowboys. He's got a lot of experience, a lot of starts.
Yeah.
If it doesn't work out, some team will pick him up. Some team can always use
offensive line talent. 100%. Final round.
Buccaneers draft Tez Johnson.
Yep. Bucks got Tez Johnson. I'm very happy to see him go. I didn't think he was going to go at the very end. I thought maybe like a very late fifth round to mid sixth. I'm very happy he's going somewhere. I'm very disappointed it's not the Broncos. But at least he's going to play with Bucky again. And, I mean, Baker Mayfield's going to get an elite weapon. We probably won't see much of Tez on the starting end of the receivers, but you never know. He could prove everybody wrong. And maybe he was holding out his speed to just kind of relax a little bit. Because he's quick. Like, there's no way he shouldn't have gotten a much better 40 time than he did. 49ers used their last their picks to address offensive pieces. They picked up Curtis Rourke, offensive line Connor Colby, and another wide receiver in Junior Bergeon. I don't really know much about these guys, to be honest.
Well, if we know anything, like you just said, Kyle Shanahan knows how to develop talent. Exactly, so
especially in the late game.
If you don't know about these guys now, you might learn about them in a couple of years, or maybe even this year. These guys are low risk, high reward. It's what round seven is. Just trying to find the best value. Junior Bergeon, I don't know what college he comes from, but you know, whenever I hear a wide receiver going to the Niners, it always gets me excited because these guys know how to develop talent and get the most out of them.
Real quickly, just a few. Obviously, this is going to grow exponentially between now and when training camp starts. But some undrafted players that have signed with teams already. Cornerback Jabbar Muhammad. This one shocked me, him not getting drafted whatsoever.
Yep.
For a guy that was projected to be, late first round to second round pick, not get drafted. It happens, but I mean that shocked me, especially with how well he did, you know, with Oregon, and not only that, but also with Washington. Like he's not a player to be taken lightly. I think he's going to be one of those guys that's like, well, time to prove all these guys wrong.
He is on the shorter side, sub 6 foot.
Yeah.
And he did get kind of I mean, that whole defensive secondary got burned in the Rose Bowl against Jeremiah Smith. So he's not the fastest, he's not the tallest, and when you have others that are faster and taller, you're going to get pushed down. It's just the fact of the matter.
Yeah, no, I see what you're saying there. Buccaneers signed Shiloh Sanders. It's kind of a player I'm really not surprised didn't get drafted.
No, he didn't have a good college career.
He's very much overshadowed by Shadur. Vikings signed Chaz Chambliss. Donovan Edwards signs with Jets. Dante Manning signs with the Falcons. Mm-hmm. Another duck off getting picked up. 49ers signed Jacob Robinson. Chargers signed DJ Uiagalelei.
Yeah, it's Mateo's brother, but it's kind of funny to see two, like, 6 foot six QBs that are like 250 pounds on the same roster. It's probably why they picked up DJ's, because he's got that big cannon of an arm. He's about 6 foot five, about the same height as Justin Herbert. But he was just never consistent in college, unfortunately.
He's going to be one of those players that they're just going to keep him in the back pocket just in case of injury. And then Cowboys pick up Trayshon Holden.
That was definitely a Junior Adams move, for sure. Junior Adams, former Oregon wide receiver coach. Mm-hmm. Trayshon's a guy that can go up and get it. Love that guy, even though he... He's known as the spitter.
I know, and that is definitely gotta be the reason, like, because he was never gonna be a day one or two pick. Like, it was gonna be mid day three or later.
Well, he was never a number one wide receiver at Oregon or at Alabama.
He's really good. He's quick. He can get the ball. He can make big plays. I just think that one incident kind of ruined his chances. But again, he's on a team now. He has the potential to obviously negotiate contracts, whereas if he got signed, he couldn't. So, yeah, you take what you can get, right? Because you're trying to get in the league. You ball out, show them that you should have drafted me. And he's gonna. I hate the Cowboys. I won't support them no matter what. Like, I don't care who's on the team, but I want to see this guy succeed. I think his comeback story from the incident is great. He owned up to it. He put his teammates first in his recovery getting back on the field. Overall, I think the draft was pretty great. A lot of teams taking what they needed. There's very, very few teams that just seemed like they were randomly drafting. Like, again,
just kind of messing around.
Like the Browns, I think they were just...
No direction, really?
Yeah. So that was my kind of like my... takeaways from the draft for those points there. Briefly, let's just kind of go over the... I mean, we're kind of going pretty long over here. So let's just kind of briefly talk about the spring game.
So you went yesterday. Good crowd, I hear.
Yeah, good environment. I mean, you and I had gone the year before because we wanted to go watch Dylan play.
Yeah.
And it was still pretty packed. Like, this year it was... I personally think there was more people there than there were the year before.
You think so?
I think so. Like, it was... There was a crowd.
Okay.
Maybe a lot of it has to do with the fact that they won the Big Ten championship. Maybe a lot of it has the fact with to do with the guest coaches.
Yeah. And DeCorian Moore. People want to come see him.
Trey McNutt.
Dante.
Dante Moore. But surprisingly enough, they played on opposite sides of the ball. So we didn't really get to see those two mesh, which is fine. One thing that I wanted to say is Luke Moga. That like, if anything, like, if all else fails, Dante Moore just really isn't working for him. I mean, he's quick. He was throwing the ball. Honestly, honestly, all of their quarterbacks looked really well. Defensively, they looked great still. It's really hard to gauge these things, too, because it's like they know the plays. They know how it's going to kind of go, but it's fun to see them use their skills to just out better them. Noah looked great. Jay Harris looked great.
How about Dylan Gresham, man? Dylan Gresham, that wide receiver, number 80. I don't know how much you were paying attention, but I was surprised that DeCorey Moore didn't get more of the spotlight, more targets, but Dylan Gresham, redshirt freshman wide receiver, definitely got a lot of love, a lot of attention, balled out. This one thing I take away from this spring game is how more open I think Oregon is going to be with their offense. We talked about that in earlier episodes. But they're not going to be as – well, they're still going to run the ball. They might not be as run heavy. They might not be as conservative. They might not throw as many screen passes. Yeah. Let's cross our fingers. It might take more shots down the field. When you have a good wide receiver core like Oregon does with so much talent, and you have a quarterback like Dante Moore that can sling it anywhere on the field effortlessly. Also, what tells me that they will be opening up the offensive more is that they have Ross Douglas, who came from Syracuse. This is going to be Will Stein's offense, of course, but I think Ross Douglas is going to have some influence on the offense. Maybe he adds his own flavor to the playbook. He says, hey, this is what worked for us at Syracuse. Let's try this out. We have so much talent. Let's use them.
I agree there. Another thing is another player that I felt stood out was Jaden Lamarr. He was running the ball, like breaking tackles, finding the holes really well, and like escaping. I know he's not going to be the starter, but he's going to be great. I don't know. Just overall on paper, they look great. I don't feel like I'm too concerned about making up for all that was lost. I felt like in the off season, all the recruiting, I felt like they were able to fill those voids very well, as well as like the younger class stepping up. It's just gonna be such a fun season this year. And again, DeCorey Moore. I mean, he
looks the part.
He's ready for it. And again, defensively, like locking down, like I did see DeCorey get locked down a couple plays, and that's great. Like if they can lock down probably one of their best receivers that they're going to have on this team, like that's great. Kenyon Sadiq looks even better than he did last year.
They got to get that guy the ball, man. He's one of the quickest guys on the roster at 6'3", 215. He's one of the quickest guys on the roster. You have to you have to utilize him. You have to get him the ball. Now his time to shine with T-Ferg gone, Patrick Herbert gone.
Yeah.
And that's his room. He's the number one tight end going forward. He's just an insane athlete. I wouldn't be surprised if he goes in the second round, third round, drafted high. I mean, even Will Stein compared him to, what's his bucket, the tight end from the Raiders who went to Georgia.
Bowers?
Brock Bowers.
Interesting.
Which is quite a comparison, but anyway, What did you think about the DBs and the defense as a whole?
Again, like the DBs, I mean, they weren't letting a whole lot get past them. And, I mean, with the exception of, you know, that massive catch on the sideline by DeCorian Moore.
Yeah.
He was locked up pretty well. It's just DeCorian Moore is just one of those guys that's he's going to do whatever he can to get the ball. Defensively, again, like they were breaking tackles on the line, getting through. Mateo's looking pretty great. He looked good last year. I think he's going to do us wonders again this year. Bryce Betcher, he's coming back bigger, stronger, ready to go.
He's the leader of that defense. He's going to be the one that wears that green dot. Mm-hmm.
The play call.
In helmet the, Mike.
Yeah.
Yeah. He'll be the one to wear that green dot. He's the leader. Him and Devin Jackson, who I don't think played yesterday.
Another one that I didn't see play yesterday was Evan Stewart.
Yeah, yeah, which is fine.
You don't need to showcase his talent. Like, we already know what a lot of them can bring, which is great because, like, the spring game is really – it's to have fun. It's to showcase. It's to show the fans. But it's really to see
– where these players are at.
How
– they progress.
How will they work not only under pressure but, you know, in real events. And again, man, like defensively, I don't think we're going to have as many struggles, especially early on like we did last year. Offensively, I really hope they get it together right away and we don't have those scares like we did Idaho and Boise State. So,
well, I'd like to think that a lot of that had to do with they didn't have Poncho at the center spot leading that offensive line when they had Charlie Pickard, the walk-in, starting at the center spot. That's when you saw those mistakes. But when they, for whatever reason, when they moved Poncho back to center, those mistakes started to calm down. And because Poncho is more of that natural center, he's just a better talent than Charlie Pickard is. There's a reason why Pickard is a walk-on. But I don't think they'll have the same. I don't think they'll have the same issues protecting the quarterback like we saw last year.
Yeah.
Now they might have some issues with false starts. This is a new group.
Yeah.
And it takes time for these guys to gel. I mean, you're bringing in basically like four new starters to the offensive line. World on the left tackle, Pregnon left guard. Ponchos have been the starter, right? And then you have Matthew Bedford, who wasn't available last year because of health issues.
Mm-hmm.
And then the other transfer, Alex Harkey, at the right tackle. That's it's basically four new starters.
Yeah.
So having to gel, they're all experienced, right? They're all upperclassmen, but getting them to gel together, that's something that they'll have to tackle.
Yeah. One issue I did notice a lot yesterday. The punters struggled to get good kicks off. And when I say struggled, we were looking like 20 to like 35 yard punts going out of bounds. They got to address that. Whether it be they try and get someone out of the transfer portal, or they just work with these guys and really dial them in. But that, you can't have that. It's going to, either that or your offense better be praying that you're getting those first downs and you can just get into field goal range and prevent them from having to punt. Because if they have to punt and this is what we're going to be dealing with all year, then we're going to have one tough year. It's not... They just got to get it locked in.
We know anything about Dan Lanning is that he doesn't sit on his ass and just do nothing with the issues at hand. He's a smart guy. I see what you're trying to say, and I do agree with you. But I, like you, I put my full trust in Dan Lanning.
Yeah.
You know, they did lose their punter to Washington. Don't ask me.
Yeah.
But they did lose Luke Dunn to the transfer portal, and he's up at Washington now. So they'll have to figure it out, but I know they will come fall camp.
Yeah.
They'll either iron out the issues now via practice and just, like you said, having the guys dial in, or get somebody from the transfer portal who can elevate that room.
Yeah, yeah, no, 100%. So overall, I had a great time. It was fun to watch it. I always like going to that because it's fun to see the new team. So and kind of give you a glimpse of what you're going to see throughout the season. One thing I will say from this year compared to last year's, it didn't seem like the QBs were holding back as much as we kind of saw Dylan do last year. Like it's
very vanilla last year.
Like, very, 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 very. This one, I felt like they were having a lot more fun with it. A lot more relaxed. And just creating big plays. Again, last year it was like, maybe like we were overhyped over this guy. It ended up being all right. I felt like Dylan had a great season. Overall, the Ducks, phenomenal last year. First year in the Big Ten, win the Big Ten championship, beat Ohio State, just to lose to them in the Rose Bowl, but it happens.
We don't talk about that.
Yeah, we're not, too soon. but no, it, overall, like, Austin has a great atmosphere, so just something as little as a spring game, it's still electric. I mean, they create, their atmosphere makes it just as fun as a normal game. May not be as loud, may not be as full, but it's still fun. So, do you got anything else to add?
No, man. I think this is a great podcast. We covered a lot.
Yeah.
I would imagine that we'll switch maybe over to recruiting next podcast. We've got a lot of things to talk about, a lot of ups and downs for the Oregon Ducks recruiting. Maybe we'll expand on other teams, but there's a lot of avenues that we can take. I'm excited for where the podcast is going, so recruiting will definitely be on the next podcast agenda. So with that being said, take it easy, guys, and we will catch you on the next time.